Chapter 11. Navigating the Tides of Life. The best and most beautiful things in this world cannot be seen or even heard, but must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. The entrepreneur had learned to sail as a child. She'd loved the sensation of salt water on her young face, and the feelings of freedom that being out on the vast sea brought her spirit. She wondered why she had stopped sailing. In that instant, she also considered why she had given up so many of the pursuits that had brought her such harmony, and she cherished the fact that in this basic moment, in a small boat gliding through the endless Indian Ocean, she was truly open and wildly alive. Our culture measures success by how much money we have, the amount of achievement we complete, and how much influence we reach. Yet, thought the entrepreneur, while both the Spellbinder and Mr. Riley agree that those victories are important, they've encouraged me to consider how well I'm running my life by another series of metrics as well. By my connection with my natural power, and by my intimacy with my authenticity, and by the vitality around my physicality, and by the size of my joy. This seems like a much better way to look at success. Being both accomplished in the world, yet peaceful within myself. Her time at the Spellbinders Conference and her wonderful days here on this pristine island, with people who still took the time to say good morning, smile at strangers, and show genuine warmth, continue to inspire and provoke both tiny and large shifts in her understanding of the true nature of a productive, prosperous, and fulfilling life. The entrepreneur was noticing she was becoming less machine-like and more human. She no longer checked her technology compulsively. She couldn't remember feeling so creative, so available to the miraculous wonders of life. She'd never been so awake to the blessings every day on earth brings. And she'd never, or at least she couldn't recall a time when she had, felt so thankful. Yes, utterly appreciative for everything she'd experienced. She realized the hard points of her life had strengthened her and made her more insightful, interesting, and wise. A fascinating and richly colorful life is stamped with many scars, she began to understand. She promised herself that she'd exploit the challenge she was facing with her investors to raise her grade of courage. The partner's takeover attempt would simply escalate her commitment to defending the natural heroism she'd learned we all have within us, at our center beneath the layers of fear, insecurity, and limitation that we all collect as we advance through life. The behaviors of her untrustworthy partners would only serve to make her a braver, better, and more decent person. Often, a bad example teaches us more about who we wish to become than a good one could ever provide. And in this world of so many hardened human beings who have lost access to who they truly are, she vowed to conduct the remainder of her days modeling excellence, resilience, and the utmost of kindness. As the entrepreneur and the artist navigated their little wooden vessel through the waters that were as clear as crystal, around coral that could be brutal if struck, and farther away from the beach where the billionaire had delivered his morning instruction, the entrepreneur spotted the distant landmass where Mr. Riley suggested she and her new love have a picnic. She also detected an ever-growing affection for the large man who sat next to her. Though they came from entirely different universes, their chemistry was undeniable. It was as if galaxies had collided. And though they had different ways of operating, their compatibility was as nothing she'd experienced before. Her mother had once told her that if you are fortunate enough to fall in love, even two or three times within a lifetime, make each of these stories count fully. Her companion's artistic powers intrigued her. His desire to be great on his own terms attracted her. His occasional hard edges challenged her. His sense of humor amused her, his palpable compassion moved her, and his dark eyes melted her.
"This was a good idea,"
the artist said as the entrepreneur adjusted the set of the sail and skillfully directed the boat around some buoys placed there by early morning fishermen.
"To come out here, away from everything, I needed a break from the learning. I'm loving all the information. I'm getting so much from Mr. Riley. Man, he's a treasure. But my head is full. I don't want to think for a while. I just want to have some fun and enjoy life. Being out here with you is special."
"Thanks," replied the entrepreneur simply, as her hair waved playfully in the wind and her sparkling eyes stayed fixed on the water in front of her.
"This is the happiest I've seen her look since I met her at the conference," thought the artist.
He put an arm around the entrepreneur. She didn't retreat in any way, remaining relaxed as their brightly painted vessel ventured deeper into the ocean. After a while, the small island they had been heading toward came into clearer focus. "The billionaire's team stocked us up for a pretty good picnic," noted the entrepreneur. "How about we drop anchor in the shallow area over there and have lunch on the white sand part of the beach?" The island looked deserted aside from the well-fed seagulls, some with live fish dangling from their skinny yellow beaks that soared overhead, and the gigantic turtle ambling along the damp shoreline as though he ruled it.
"Cool," the artist replied. "I'm good with that," he added as he took off his shirt unselfconsciously and dove into the water with a wide splash.
The delightful meal the two enjoyed consisted of grilled spicy prawn and a fresh mango salad, along with a humongous chunk of pecorino cheese flown in that morning from Italy. Watermelon mixed with pineapple and kiwi had been provided for dessert. The entrepreneur shared her longing to build one of the world's greatest companies as they savored the food and relaxed in that sanctuary of peaceful isolation. She spoke of her desire to build a genuine empire, and then, perhaps, to retire in style to the rustic side of Ivitha. She also confided even more of her pained childhood, from the terrible divorce of her parents to the depth of her trauma around the violent passage of her beloved father. She spoke in further detail of the series of failed relationships that had caused her to concentrate most of her time on her work, and the loneliness she felt when she wasn't in the process of advancing her business.
"Those weren't failed relationships," mused the artist as he munched joyfully on a chunk of watermelon. "They made you who you are, right? And I really like who you are." "Actually," said the artist candidly, "I love who you are."
He leaned over and kissed the entrepreneur. "What took you so long to say that?" she asked.
"I don't know. My confidence has been low for a long time," confessed the artist. "But hearing the Spellbinder at the seminar, and meeting you and feeling our amazing vibe, and then being on this totally insane yet incredible adventure, I don't know. It's making me believe more in myself again. This is all helping me to trust life again, I guess. To open up to someone again is great. I should paint later today. Something special is going to show up. I just know it."
"Yes, you should," encouraged the entrepreneur. "I sense it too. You're going to be a hugely successful and truly legendary painter." And then, after a lengthy pause, she added, "I love you too, by the way." The romance of that moment being shared by the two new members of the 5 a.m. club was suddenly broken by the sound of loud hip-hop music. A figure could be seen in the water moving dazzlingly fast, zigzagging and then racing along straightaways. It soon became evident who this noisy and uninvited intruder was. Stone Riley, riding on a souped-up jet ski and wearing a top hat that had been strapped to his chin. Yes, a top hat. And if you looked closely, you would see a skull and crossbone symbol on it, the sort that sits on pirate flags. Soon he, too, was up on the unspoiled beach with the two lovers. Soon he, too, was eating the prawns and mango salad and wolfing down large pieces of the fresh fruit dessert, and soon he was holding hands with the entrepreneur and the artist. This man was a pure oddball and a most human hero. The entrepreneur and the artist looked at each other as the billionaire did his thing. They shook their heads, clapped their hands, and laughed easy laughs. "Dudes!" shouted the billionaire above the volume of the thumping music as his jet ski bobbed in the shallow water. "Missed you two. Hope you don't mind me crashing your picnic," he communicated with food in his mouth. Without waiting for an answer, he turned up the decibel level of the song and sang along to the words. "Gnarly tune, right?" he asked with all the energy of a power plant. "Deaf," replied the artist instinctively. "I mean, definitely," he corrected. The three companions spent the rest of that unforgettable afternoon swimming, singing, dancing, and talking. That evening, the billionaire hosted a magnificent dinner out on his beach, which was lit with tiki torches, cream-colored lanterns, and what you would have guessed were thousands of candles. A long wooden table, draped with the finest of linens, supported platters of exquisitely prepared food. The spellbinder also appeared at the banquet, swapping stories with the billionaire while a few of Mr. Riley's other friends showed up later to play the bongos, share in the fabulous meal, and sip some fine wine. Even the ultra-professional and exceptionally hospitable attendants were encouraged to join the festivities. It was all surreal and special. For an instant, the entrepreneur reflected on the preciousness of the evening and recalled a quote her father had placed on the door of the family fridge. It was from Dale Carnegie, the self-help author, and it read, "One of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We are all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon, instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside our windows today." The entrepreneur smiled to herself. She realized she would postpone living fully no more. She'd not only fallen in love with a good man, she was beginning to experience a lavish lust for life itself. At 5 a.m. the next morning, the sound of a helicopter pierced the sereneness that only presents itself at that hour of the day. The entrepreneur and the artist waited on the beach as they'd promised the billionaire they would. They held hands, tightly, and awaited the next lesson he told them he'd share. But the billionaire was nowhere to be found. An assistant wearing a crisp shirt the color of the sky and pressed Bermuda shorts the hue of a tomato, with red leather sandals, ran down from the home of the titan of industry. "Bonjour," she said in a highly polished way. "Mr. Riley has requested that I escort you to his helipad. He has a huge gift for you both, but you'll need to hurry, please. We're on a strict timeline." The three of them scampered along the beach, up a groomed trail through lush trees, past an herb garden with wooden signs containing quotes from famous leaders, as well as one that said, "Trespassers will be composted," and finally to an expansive, manicured meadow. At the center of it sat a gleaming helicopter with its rotors whirring against the radiance of the early morning lightfall. Inside the aircraft, a single pilot could be seen. He wore aviator glasses, a black, flat-brimmed baseball cap, and an all-black uniform. As his passengers were led inside, the pilot remained silent, manipulating the controls and writing on what appeared to be a detailed checklist attached to a scuffed-up clipboard with the phrase, "Rise and shine so you'll escape the misery of mediocrity," written at the top in red. A smiley face emoji was evident below this line. "Good morning," said the entrepreneur enthusiastically to the pilot. "Where's Mr. Riley?" The pilot didn't answer. He tuned a dial, tweaked a knob, and made another tick mark on the white page. "Good luck and have a safe flight, you two," announced the assistant as she adjusted the seatbelts and placed headphones with a microphone snugly onto the heads of her VIP guests.
"Where the heck are we going?" demanded the artist, reverting to angry man status.
No reply. The door shut with a thud, then locked with a click. The engine noise grew louder, and the propeller accelerated its rotations. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh went the sound. The pilot, seemingly in some sort of imperturbable trance, and certainly not at all friendly, pushed the control stick. The helicopter began to rise above the grassy field. Unexpectedly, the aircraft tilted to the left dramatically. Then it descended aggressively toward the earth in a free fall, before jerking upward again.
"Total disaster!" shouted the artist. "This pilot is incompetent! I hate him!"
"Just breathe, all will be well," reasoned the entrepreneur. She looked relaxed, secure, and in complete control. Her morning training was working. She pulled the artist closer to her. "I'm here. We'll be safe. This will end well." Soon, the helicopter was high in the sky and moving steadily, efficiently and gracefully. The quiet pilot fiddled with the dials and tinkered with the controls, seemingly oblivious to the fact he carried two passengers.
"I've seen that watch before," observed the artist as he spied the big timepiece on the pilot's lean wrist. "Same one Stone had on at the Spellbinder's presentation. This is nuts," he stated in a quivering voice.
The painter was sweating like a polar bear in a heat wave.
"Own your morning, elevate your life," came the singing voice from the front of the helicopter. "Hi, cats, bonjour. Enjoying being members of the 5 a.m. club this morning?"
he questioned in a raspy tone.
"Boy, oh boy, you're gonna love the surprise that's coming. Another country for another lesson on the morning routine of legendary leaders, creative geniuses, and the great women and men of the world."
The pilot turned his head around radically and whipped off his sunglasses intensely. Then he let out a monumental burp. It was the billionaire.
"Hey, people, I didn't mean to scare you two glorious human beings. I do have my helicopter pilot's license, you know,"
said Mr. Riley sincerely, almost apologetically.
"Sure," remarked the artist, still clinging to the entrepreneur like a gambler holding his last chip.
"Got it years ago," the billionaire continued. "Helicopters are uber cool. But with all my business ventures these days, I don't get in the airtime I used to. Sorry for the rough liftoff. I guess I need more practice."
"So where are we going?" the entrepreneur asked as she eased into her supple leather seat.
"Agra," was the billionaire's one-word answer.
"What does that mean?" asked the artist. "What's in Agra?"
"I'm taking you guys back to the airport," said the billionaire. "Got to keep us moving on this once-in-a-lifetime adventure we're on."
"We're leaving Mauritius?" wondered the entrepreneur with disappointment. Her bracelets dangled and knocked against each other as she said this.
"What about everything you still have to share with us?" the artist asked. "We still haven't learned the 20-20-20 formula you say will revolutionize our lives. You told us that it's pretty much the foundation of the 5 a.m. method. I've been waiting to learn it," argued the artist, punching a fist into a hand again. "And I really, really love Mauritius. I wasn't ready to leave."
"So do I," agreed the entrepreneur. "I thought you promised us you'd get into the detailed tactics around what to do after we get up at 5 a.m. And at the Spellbinders conference, you promised that you'd share practical productivity hacks so I could scale up my business and some key techniques to build my own fortune. And me and my man only had one picnic together, and you crashed it with your loud music and your pimped-up jet ski." No one spoke for a moment. Then, slowly, everyone in the helicopter began to giggle.
"Relax, guys," hollered the billionaire. "My home is your home. You can come back to Mauritius anytime you want. I'll send the same drivers and the same jet, and I'll make sure you feel the same love from me and my awesome team. No sweat. Happy to be helpful, always."
He adjusted another dial before adding,
"I've got a plane waiting for us on the runway right now. You lovebirds have been tremendous students. Absolutely first rate. You've passionately embraced the Spellbinder's teachings. You've been up with the sun and on time every morning. I've seen all your progress. So I wanted to give you a great present today."
"A present?" the artist queried. "I'll need to get back to my studio at home pretty soon. I've got some serious restructuring of my craft and fixing of my life to do after all this."
And I'll need to be at my company soon, too, the entrepreneur said. Some of the worry lines returned to her forehead as she pronounced these words, though there were many fewer than before she had joined the 5 a.m. club.
Well, not yet, guys. Not yet, please, pleaded the billionaire. We're going to Agra.
I have no idea where that is, admitted the entrepreneur.
Agra is in India, the billionaire explained. I'm taking you two to see one of the 7 wonders of the world. And get set to learn the next part of the 5 a.m. method. Everything you've learned so far has been preparation for all that's coming. Lock and load, dudes. We're now ready to get into the advanced information to help you drive exponential productivity, maximum performance, legendary leadership, and a towering life that upgrades the world. Get set to receive the most practical information you could ever learn on the morning routine of world builders and history makers. The best is about to come.
The billionaire expertly landed the helicopter next to a pristine private jet that had its turbines running. Unlike the first one, this aircraft was all black. But like the one that brought the 2 students to Mauritius, it had 5AC emblazoned on the tail, also in a hue of orange similar to a mandarin.
Let's go to incredible India, exclaimed the billionaire energetically.
Let's go then, replied the entrepreneur and the artist. One of the most valuable experiences of their extraordinary escapade with Stone Riley, the eccentric magnate, was about to begin.